கஜ்ஜனிய சூக்த டிவைட் சாவக்தி மங்ஸ் எனி பிரீட்ஸ் ஓ கண்டெம்ப்ளேட்டிவ்ஸ் ஹூ ரீகலெக்ட் தேர் மெனி ஃபோர் பாஸ்ட் திங்ஸ் ஓ ரீகலெக்ட் ஃபைவ் கிளிங்கிங் அக்ரிகேட்ஸ் ஓ ஒன் இமாம் திங் விச் பால் ஒன் ரீகலெக்டிங் ஐ வாஸ் ஒன் வித் சச் ஃபோம் இன் த பாஸ்ட் ஒன் இஸ் ரீகலெக்டிங் ஜஸ்ட் ஃபோம் ஓ வென் ரீகலெக்டிங் ஐ வாஸ் ஒன் வித் சச் ஃபீலிங் இன் த பாஸ்ட் ஒன் இஸ் ரீகலெக்டிங் ஜஸ்ட் ஃபீலிங் Oh, when recollecting, I was one with such a perception in the past. One is recollecting just perception. Oh, when recollecting, I was one with such a volition and formation in the past. One is recollecting just a volition and formation. Oh, when recollecting, I was one with such a consciousness in the past. One is recollecting just consciousness. So this one is, you see, when you actually think about recollecting past lives, you would normally think, you know, how I was and sort of thing, and I can sort of recollect my past ones as well. But when you recollect, first you think that you are recollecting, you know, that like a film, you know, that I was such and such a person and living in this way and what I was doing and all those. Mainly you are recollecting your original formations, what I was doing, what I was actually how I was living, you know, all those things. And when you think back, all those things are actually simply the five aggregates of play that we have really right over here. We are recollecting as that I was as a young person, how I was, and you know, as a child, and all those things. It's the same. Nothing like it over there. It's the same thing, recollecting. That's what Buddha is actually telling over here. And I think there was this commentary about this discourse that all these bhikkhus actually can recollect, you know, their past births and that sort of thing. Why do you call it a form? Because it is afflicted. Thus it is called form. Afflicted with what? With cold and heat and hunger and thirst. With touch of flies, mosquitoes, wind, sun and reptiles. Because it is afflicted, it is called a form. So this is sometimes it's translated that it's deformed. That's why it is called form. It's deformed with this heat, cold, you know, with the heat, the things get split up, you know, with even the aging, all those things are actually happening with the heat. So it is, we call it a form because it is actually deformed. And why do you call it feeling? Because it feels. Thus it is called feeling. What does it feel? It feels pleasure. It feels pain, it feels neither pleasure nor pain. Because it feels, it is called feeling. So we have these three kind of feeling. And why do you call it perception? Because it perceives. Thus it is called perception. What does it perceive? It perceives blue, it perceives yellow, it perceives red, it perceives white. Because it perceives, it is called perception. And why do you call them volitional formations? They construct the condition bhikkhu. Therefore they are called volitional formation. And what is the condition that they construct? They construct condition form as form. They construct condition feeling as feeling. They construct condition perception as perception. They construct condition volitional formations as volitional formations. They construct condition consciousness as consciousness. They construct condition bhikkhu. Therefore they are called volitional formation. So that part is actually really, really big. One should pay great attention to that particular part. This one is, in Pali, it is actually Sankatam Abhisankaranti. Whatever thing that has been constructed before is being reconstructed. Sankatam Abhisankaranti. Bhikkhu Bodhi, for example, said that he cannot translate this Sankatam Abhisankaranti into English. Because it is, whatever way you translate it, you don't get the exact meaning, the Sankatam Abhisankaranti meaning. And he was actually saying that actually explained the poorness of the English language and the richness of the Pali language. So, if you think a little bit deeper, so it's called volitional formation because they construct. And they construct the form as form. You see that we all call, looking at this one, a book. And there is this construction that this is a book. How do we know that?
Because somebody already
told us.
Yes.
Yeah, my father, mother, or someone actually showed me something. This is a book. So my father actually hasn't shown me this book. He has shown me something similar. So having perceived that one, then we actually construct. This is a book. So it's a poem. Poem is actually now constructed. The chemist, physicist, they analyze this one differently and they will say, they could say this one is different. So we, with the perception, we get into a certain conclusions that this is so and so. And similarly, and within us, what we actually see is these four great elements. This is matter, feeling, perception, volition, information, and consciousness. Inside the matter, there is this aputeju vayu patavi, the element of heat, element of extension, element of motion, and element of collision. So having such a form, we say it's a man, a woman, is also constructed from our mind. So it's a, you can see it's just a...
And also that the other part is the man or woman is a combination of those four great elements in a such a way to form a particular pattern.
Yeah, but if you actually look at in deeper sense, then what you see is the same thing. My eye over here is the same as the woman's eye. Okay, so when it appears in a certain way, one would actually say it's such and such a thing. So it's actually an illusion within ourselves that we actually constructed that way. Because we were trained. This is the habitual tendency, verbal formations. By those verbal formations, we were trained and to code it and in this way. So however we perceive it, and then that's how we actually put into vocal thing. So sanskara, the volitional formation, is simply constructed. It's a key to understanding this Buddhism. That is that whenever we see certain things, it is actually our own construction that we actually see.
You can explain it like these two because in different languages, for the same thing, we use different words because it's from the habit. Because in that particular language, something is sort of, it's a nomination, isn't it? You give a name to this, it is this. And then when somebody else sings it, because it's a different perception, and it comes as a different word, like a book, and in Sinhala it's a different word.
It's totally a construction. So these constructions are sort of bad. We are actually constructing bad things as well. So man, woman, so then there is this, with that one, all the associated things comes up and play its part. That's number one. The very bad thing is actually we take these impermanent things as permanent. We construct impermanent things as permanent. So having constructed that, this form, that we see as a permanent thing, and we grab into that one. So that's called vipallasa, and it's creating quite a lot. And then the suffering, we are taking the as pleasure, suffering. So it's a construction. Again, it's a construction. So
to understand this part, can you recommend one particular sutra? I can read. You can read to one.
Well, this is actually there in every discourses, but this is the place Buddha exactly said what it is. The volitional formation is actually why it is volitional formation. So this is the discourse that one has to read thoroughly. And this paragraph, repeatedly think about that one, in the meditation time. So then you can see that that when we come to be also, this part of this construction. So it construct form, condition form as form, it construct condition feeling as feeling, and it construct conditional volitional formation as volitional formation as well. So it construct all five. So now you can see it construct the consciousness, that whatever the consciousness, the eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, body consciousness, tongue consciousness, mind consciousness, all are constructed as well. And with that one is aware that this is a book. And the feeling is constructed as well. So when feeling is constructed, you are constructing it and you are playing into it. So when some think about in deeper sense, and what a stupid thing to do. That's what you actually found. And this one actually also take you out of that view, identity view, I am. See that when there is this five aggregates of feeling, matter, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness, one tend to think that there is a person here. Rather than pursuing, this is a constructed thing. And my feeling are all the time constructed. My perception are all the time constructed. Volitional formations are constructed, consciousness is also constructed. Each time this is constructed. It's not that I have that consciousness and I am there, I perceive that one, I am here, I perceive that one. So this is actually saying it is all the time you are constructing. And this is the construction that we are talking. So we are actually constructing I am as it. You see, so it's a very deep thing, want to think. And why because do you call it consciousness? It cognizes because therefore it is called consciousness. What does it cognize? It cognizes sour, bitter, the pungent, sweet, sharp, mild, salt, bland, everything. It is therefore it is called consciousness. It cognizes. Thus an instructed disciple of the noble ones reflecting this way. I am now being chewed up by form, but in the past I was also chewed up by form in the same way. I am now being chewed up by present form. And if I delight in future form, then in the future I will be chewed up by form. In the same way, I am now being chewed up by present form. Having reflected in this way, he becomes indifferent to past form, does not delight in future form, and is practicing for the sake of disenchantment, dispassion, and cessation with regard to present form. So, now that one is bit deeper as well. Now you can see this present form that I have. I am being chewed up by this present form, this body, because I need to feed it. I need to earn money to feed it. So I have to work to do that one. And I need to feed it, I need to wash it, I need to put into the sleep, I need to turn this way, turn that way. Everything has to be done. So you are consumed by this one all the time. If you think about most of your past, we are sleeping 8 hours per day, so you can see that one third of the time is gone for that. So what? Just to maintain this the body, right? And so our mind is preoccupied with this matter and the feeling and the perception and the volitional formation and consciousness. This was true for the past. Past also, I was chewed up by the same thing, consumed. And consumed by the feeling. You know, people go into trouble, and, the killing, all those things, stealing, sexual misconduct, everything. Just, without knowing these things, that one is actually chewed up by these feelings and perception, all those things. So, more you think about it, how much trouble you have, this present life one. And so these people are actually talking about recollecting the past ones. When you recollect the past one, you can see the same thing again and again. We are consumed by this five aggregates of pain. So, having seen that one, then if I delight in the present form or the future form, and it will be the same. I will have the same consequences like I have now. So, over there, we get this Abhinandati. Remember that the word Pali, Abhinandati, that thing, it is actually coming up in the over here, Pali. That he is not going to delight in the present, future or anything like that. And then the Pali words for the disenchantment and dispassion and cessation is Nibbindati. And the Nibbidai, Viragai, Nirodai, Patipanno. So those are the Pali words for this cessation. So again, Buddha repeated this one. We are going by this ... scenario, but Buddha repeated this one. I am now being chewed up by feeling. Think about it, that the feelings that we have today, in the past feeling, they are coming to play. If you recall your past, not the past birth, you don't need to recall the past birth. Think about when you are young, the feelings that you have. So you have been consumed by those feelings. Everyone is consumed by this feeling. And having perceived those feelings, we are actually looking for the future. And you don't find it. So there's this frustration. And so again, one being chewed up by feeling. Similarly, perception and the volitional formation, fabrications are volitional formations, and consciousness. But in the past, I was also chewed up by consciousness. In the same way, I am now being chewed up by present consciousness. And I remember that we had a discussion, I think, probably the last week or so, about the consciousness, how to think about the consciousness, that, you know, that having these this fears, you know, one who has done a bad thing, and so the, yes, maybe, let's say someone has been stealing, and then the king's soldiers captured him, and then bring him before the king, and tell this person has done this thing, and give him punishment, and the king actually gave him punishment for 100 spears in the morning. And then in the lunchtime, the king is asking, how is that man? So is the same that he's still alive. So then he will give him another 100 spears. And again, the king is asking in the afternoon, how is that man? He's still alive, sir. Give him another 100 spears. So he will get 300 spears. So that is the part over there, is that the consciousness is actually, because of our form of volitional formation, is common. The volitional formation, you can see over here, is a construct the consciousness. Construct the conditioned consciousness as consciousness. So because of the fast karma, it is actually now constructed. Now what is constructed is actually that, like he is getting spears all the time, it's battering us. You know, if you pursue something good, then it is a suffering as well. If you pursue something painful, it is painful. And the neutral one is also painful.
Volitional formations are also for karma.
Volitional formations are karma, yeah.
So good karma, bad karma also.
Yeah. Good karma produces good things, but still you have to live with it. So you get the good one, you are happy, that one, but it won't last. And then passing away, it's like that, you got some cash in your pocket, you spend it, you earn again. Right? So good karma is better. Unless we should do the good gun, kusar, pa. But
the thing is, like, for an example, I say this is a pen. Now I have constructed it in my mind that it's a pen, so it's a volitional formation. But it's not a karma.
But you are going to, because it's the karma comes when you get the clinging to that. If you think it's beautiful pen and I want to have this for myself and all these things, and then. That's where the karma comes from, because your attachment.
Let's say someone is now come to grab it. You want to write it, so you have a desire to write something. Okay, now you are actually holding. You are thinking that I am not clinging to this. And someone comes with that. You know, the small children are fighting for the pen, right in the class. So you do not realize that I am actually clinging to the pen. I am clinging to this thing. You know, without it, I can't read. Right, like that. You are holding that one because you have. Some sort of a desire to write, desire to learn.
And
it's
okay,
but it's it is there.
Isn't it? That's your pen. You say it's my pen.
My pen. You are saying my
it's
pen.
It's not
as
just
well.
A pen. So.
Yeah. So we are holding to even a tiny little thing, even this carpet. You might think, I don't give a damn about this carpet. But let's say someone is coming to into temple and trying to get that one. People have to, you will actually at least speak, tell that this is temple's carpet. Right? What? So it's because we are holding these things without knowing how much we are holding. You would say that I don't care about this, my body, you know, my body is bad or something, you know, sick or something. We are holding to it thoroughly. So everything, even the piece of paper. So it's the volitional formations. So the consciousness is also the same way. So having seen these things, and then there is this dispassion and cessation with regard to our present consciousness. And then Buddha asks, what do you think, monks? Is form permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, Lord. And is that which is impermanent, happiness or suffering? Suffering, Lord. And is it fitting to regard what is impermanent, suffering, subject to change, as this is mine, this is myself, this is what I am? So think about that one as well. Each paragraph over here is a very strong picture. What do you think, monk? Is form permanent or impermanent? So you can say that this person is now actually see that in the past also I've been chewed up with this form, feeling and all those things. because of this impermanent nature, isn't it? Because if it is form is permanent and everything is permanent, I mean, you don't even have to go to work, you don't have to feed, because it's permanent, it's there. Yeah? So this person having contemplated, he actually see this is this, because of this I have this problem, so impermanent. So Buddha said, if something is impermanent, is it happiness or suffering? So one would agree that it is suffering because it's changing. That's why I have this struggle. And is it fitting? Is it befitting to regard what is impermanent, suffering, subject to change as this is mine? That's the word about the anatta. Anatta is very strongly described over there in that statement. Is it befitting? So we normally tend to take, you know, beautiful forms or whatever thing. We tend to grab it, having seen. If we haven't heard this about these things, we tend to grab it and hold it. In mind, ah, this is nice. Let's say a good food or something, ah, this is tasty, this is good, and sort of thing. But that thing is actually creating the problem. Having known that this one actually creating the problem, and if it is creating the problem, for example, if you take a diabetic person, right, and he likes to eat these sweet things, and doctor actually described him, you know, if you actually eat these things, young man, you are going to die, sort of thing. And so now he knows this thing, so he's had to give it up. Otherwise, let's say doctor has not actually told him, and he does not know he has got diabetes or anything like that. One condition side, he does not know. Taking that one, he's grabbing into that thing, and he is actually taking, he does not know this is suffering and this is leading to suffering. So he hold it. This is mine. So Buddha asked him, if it is suffering, is it befitting to take it as mine? So this, all these things we actually like, you know, we perceive that these are really good and so on. They all lead to suffering. And it is suffering right now, because when you have it, you are happy, and impermanent means you don't get it in the future. Since it's changing, it's suffering. Since it's suffering, those suffering things should we be taking as mine. So each one of these lines we can actually use in the meditation very heavily on that one. So so in Pali it is actually etammam esohamasmi esome attati. This is mine, this is myself, this is what I am. So Buddha talked about the feeling. Is feeling permanent or impermanent? If it is impermanent. So if it is impermanent, is it suffering or happiness or suffering? Suffering. If it is suffering, is it befitting to regard that one as mine? This I am. So Buddha went through that perception, volitional formation and consciousness. So the monks expressed that it is no Lord. So thus monks, any form, whoever, whatever, whatsoever, that is past, future or present, internal or external, patent or subtle, common or sublime, far or near, every form is to be seen as it actually is with right discernment. This is not mine, this is not myself, this is not what I am. So now we actually are talking about feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. All of them that you can see, there are this about 11 things Buddha describing here. Past, future, present, so we got 3. Internal, external, 5. Patent or subtle, so that's the 7. Common or sublime, far or near, 11. So those 11 are also not that small. They are actually explaining this Abhidhamma book, Vibhanga, in greater detail. We can go through a part of it. So here it has got about 14 pages on that topic. I will go at least matter and feeling. So what is this aggregate of material quality? You know, we're talking about the matter, rupa. So whatever material quality is past, future or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, distant or proximate, these together collectively and briefly, this is called the aggregate of material quality. Therein, what is past material quality? So now we are going through those 11 parts. That material quality which is past, ceased, dissolved, changed, terminated, disappeared. Your carcass, you know, past birth carcass, for example, body, is that disappeared. Having arisen, has dissolved, has passed and is ceased. whatever thing it is. Among the things that are past, the four great essentials, four great elements, and the material qualities derived from the four great elements, those sounds, smell, all those things also. This is called past material quality. They are in what is future material quality, that material quality which is not born, not become, not begotten, not existence, fully non-existent, not apparent, not arisen. For example, your future form is not apparent, you know, whether am I going to be a divine being, a human being, animal, so the form not apparent, not rising, not well rising. And so these the four great elements and the derived things out of it. And we know about the present one, but then what is present material quality? The material quality which is born, become, begotten, existent, fully existence, well rising, uprising, well uprising, which is present and is classed among the things that are present, the four great essentials, the material things. And so now we actually talk about three things, present, past and future. And then what is internal and what is external. The material quality which for this or that being is personal, self-referable, one's own, individual and is grasped. It's my body. So this is actually internal material quality, whatever thing internal over here. And what is the external one? The material quality which is for this or that other being. So, if I compare, that's the other beings. So, whatever the material quality belonging to them, they are the material quality of the external one. And what is gross material quality? The eye base, ear base, nose base, tongue base, body base. Those are the gross material quality. And the subtle material quality, the control faculty of femininity, nutrient factor of food. So, whatever the external, that for me, another form is actually become... that this form, that is the internal one over here, that is this the gross one, subtle one is the form. And then what is inferior material quality? The material quality which is for the past or that being is contemptible, despised, worthless. You know, the worthless things, urine and you know those things, you know, they are the material things that they are actually inferior. But if you take a gem, you know, the gold and things, that's superior. So that is actually there in what is superior material, the material quality which for this or that being is not contemptible, not despised, not worthless. You are not going to throw it out, keep collecting. So that's that visible, audible, odors, habit, tangible, whatever thing. They are the superior one. There in what is distant material quality, the controlled faculty of femininity. The nutrient factor of food or whatever other material quality there is not near, not close, distant, not proximate. So there are the outside ones are far, whatever the, if it is not internal, you can see outside ones, they are far from me. And the proximate ones is the eye base, ear base, nose base, tongue base, so within only. So that's the material one, that one sort of with the help of description, one can sort of understand very well, but without it also can understand, you know, past, future, present, I know. But when it comes to feeling, that's the one can't actually explain properly what is that, you know, this the internal one, the external one, then the, what is that, the subtle and things. So the feeling is that what is aggregate of feeling, whatever feeling is past, future, present, internal or external. So we are actually going through those 11 parts. Then what is past feeling? That feeling which is past, ceased, dissolved, changed, terminated, disappeared. We have those feelings. We actually grasp very heavily on those feelings. If you think about in the meditation time, you can see that most of the trouble is about your past feeling that you don't have it anymore. And so this has passed and passed among the things that are past. This is called the past, so it can be painful, neither painful or pleasant, all three classes over there, the past. Then what is future feeling? That feeling which is not born, not become, not begotten, not existence, not fully existence. So for example, one may be actually thinking, oh, how would be the feeling of a divine being or Brahma? We have heard that they are so happy. So one may be actually thinking, so this has not been born yet. I mean, we might have had that one long time ago, but forgotten. And so there is this feeling that has not arisen. So we know about the present feeling to a certain extent, that feeling which is born, become existent and pleasant, painful, neither pleasant, nor pleasant, neither painful, nor pleasant feeling. This is called present feeling. So there is what is internal feeling, that feeling which for this thing or that being is personal, self-referable, one's own. So that my feeling, you know, is that the internal one. The external feeling, that feeling, we think that other being for other persons, it is other's feeling, so that's the external feeling. Now this is the part one can't sort of understand without this text at all. Is there any what is gross and subtle? The bad feeling is gross. Good and neither good or no bad feeling is subtle. So bad feeling. So when you have the unskilled state of the mind, apusa, if let's say you are killing an animal, so that is actually the bad one. So there is this bad feeling. So you are not doing that sort of thing, then you have good feeling. So it can be neutral as well. So you can see, so bad feeling, apusal one is called gross. And then the good one is called the subtle one. So kusal one is subtle one. So that's how we distinguish between the two. So it goes in further detail. So now actually going further, I'm actually not going to repeat this thing. Might become too much. And so then it takes the good and bad feeling is gross. Remember that relative to the bad feeling, we are saying the good and bad feeling is a better one and subtle. Now we are saying good and bad feeling is gross. And the neither good nor bad feeling, neutral one, is the subtle one. Okay, so that's the winner over there. So painful feeling is gross, pleasant feeling is pleasant, also neither painful nor pleasant feeling is subtle. So again that discrimination comes in the thing. So gross and subtle feeling should be understood by comparing this feeling with that. So that's how the comparison. Now the inferior and superior the feeling is that the bad feeling is inferior. Good and neither good no bad feeling is superior. Neutral one and the pleasurable one is actually taken. And then we take the pleasurable one also actually the one side, neutral one is the subtle one. So it's in comparison thing over there. So we can see that that is how the feelings become inferior and superior depending on the kusala and akusala. Then what is distant feeling? Bad feeling is distant from the good and neither good nor bad feeling. So the akusala one, the unskilled state of the mind, akusala one, is distant from the kusala one. So there is this difference between the two in that. And so again that text repeated with the for the neutral one is the winner. And this is a big paragraph over here, feeling that is the object of defilement is distant from the feeling that is not the object of defilement, klesha. Feeling that is not the object of the defilement is distant from the feeling that is object of defilement. This is called the distant feeling. And the proximate feeling, bad feeling is proximate to bad feeling, or good feeling is proximate to good feeling. So you can see that the akusala, when you have unskilled state of the mind, akusala is close to akusala. And the kusala is close to kusala. So when you do kusala, then you actually have another kusala. Alobha, you know, the giving up things, and it actually produces this three of the eightfold path itself. So that's why Buddha is actually saying over here that, you know, sabbapapassaka, you know, you get the kusala. And then if you have one, then you get another one. It's a... Well, the skill states of the mind are close, proximate cause for the skill state of the mind. So, for example, what are the skill state of the mind? You are not killing animals, not stealing, not having sexual misconduct, not lying, all those things. So, that state is close to your concentrations, higher concentrations. Because this is kusala and the other one is kusala, this is proximate for the kusala. So the virtue is, for example, is actually helping to get the other skill states of the mind. So we go to the first jhana concentration, it is helpful to get into the second jhana concentration. The second jhana concentration is helpful to go into the third, all the kusala. So they are
it's like I think because if you do some wrong thing, like if you say if you kill animals, so it's when this relative time comes, when you do that bad things, you cannot get rid of that feeling from your mind. So
it's biting you. It's biting you.
Yeah, it's biting you. Mm-hmm. And in spite of it, if you do something good, and then when even though you think about that, it's a good feeling. Mm-hmm. So that will sort of
afflict you.
More things.
It is actually afflicting your mind. Mm-hmm. At the time of recollecting. This is actually in the Vitakka Santana Sutta. As I can remember, if you actually recollect, let's say you are in a very bad state, Buddha asks you to get out of that one, you are asked you to recollect your kusal, still states that you have developed. I have given this money to the temple, I have done this thing, I have rescued this animal. When you think about it, you are out of that misery, you are in the good state. So that one produces further. Things.
And again, when you do have that need and so that the balanced one, what's that called?
Neutral one.
Mm. You are safer than both of the other things. Mm. Because when you meditate, none of these bother you. Mm. Even though you sometimes the things that you do good bothers you when you do meditate, and then something if you do bad, it bothers you too. And when you take the things as neutral, and the good things also, so it doesn't bother you when you do meditation.
Yeah. So that's why Buddha is actually, that the Eightfold Path, right concentration, going to the fourth dhyana level, with the equanimity. Bojanga, equanimity, ending up with the equanimity. So that state, what you describe, is the one actually make you wonder, that lead into liberation. So we discussed feeling. I think I will stop about that part. And similarly, same thing repeated for the perception, volitional formation, and consciousness, all the things. So this monk is called a disciple of the noble ones, who tears down and does not build up, who abandons, does not cling, who discards, does not pull in, who scatters and does not pile up. And what does he tear down and not build up? He tears down form, does not build it up. He tears down feeling, perception, volitional formation, consciousness, and does not build up. And what does he abandon, not cling to? He abandons form, does not cling to it. He abandons feeling, perception, fabrication, consciousness. Because he has got this revulsion about nibbida, dispassion, and cessation about all these formations, whether materiality, feeling, all those things. Having seen that all these things are constructed, having seen that all these things are, he's been chewed up by these things, he's consumed by these things. Now he has this dispassion and he's not going to build up. He doesn't want to build anything any further. So he discard these things. What does he discard and not pull in? He discard form, does not pull it in. He discard feeling, perception, volition, formation and consciousness, does not pull it in. And what does he scatter and not pile up? He scatters form, does not pile it up. He scatters feeling, perception, volition, formation, consciousness, does not pile it up. So he's not accumulating. And this one has got the greater meaning as well, in the sense of that if you go through the Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta, in the middle and saying, Buddha is saying at the end, having attained all the higher consciousness states, then he actually understands that these are constructed. That this construction thing we talk about in the second paragraph over here. He understood that all these things are constructed. Whatever thing constructed, subject to failing. So therefore he neither construct nor destruct. Okay, he's neither construct nor destruct. Because for the destruction also you need to, have the volition. I want to destruct this. So he is neutral about all those things, not clinging. He attains Nibbana. So this is the one part leading to this particular one, because he is not collecting any rubbish anymore. Seeing thus, the instructed disciple of the noble ones grows disenchanted with form, disenchanted with feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. Disenchanted, he becomes dispassionate. Through dispassion, he is fully released. With fully released, there is knowledge, fully released. He discerns that birth is ended, so he became an arahant. The holy life fulfilled, the task done. There is nothing further for this world. This monk is called the disciple of the noble ones, who neither built up nor tears down, but who stands having torn down, who neither cling nor abandons, but who stands having abandoned, who neither pulls in nor discards, but who stands having discarded, who neither piles up nor scatters, but who stands having scattered. And what is that? He neither build up nor tears down, but stands having torn it down. He neither build up nor tears down form, but stands having torn it down. He neither builds up nor tears down feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness, but stands having torn it down. So similarly, Buddha repeated that one for the feeling, perception and volitional formation in the same way. And you can see that that person is actually lived having discarded, and he lived having scattered. So so over here, you see, for us, when we see certain things, we either the cling to it, and those cravings come, or we actually, push it. Yeah, aversion for that one. For Arahant, when they see certain things, let's say beautiful thing, they know that they have actually dismantled it. They have got rid of it. So that one is coming to their mind, that this is the thing that has been dismantled, removed, got rid of. So they live having got rid of those things. We live, either we are accumulating most of the time, or we contemplate and get rid of it with some effort. They live having abandoned it all the time. So I mean, this one was mentioned in number of discourses about this. So and then Buddha said that, and to the monk whose mind is thus released, the devas together with Indra, the Brahma and Prajapati pay homage, even from afar. Homage to you, O thorough bred man. Homage to you, a superlative man. You, of whom we don't know even what, dependent on which you are absorbed, in the sense that when they are thinking, they can't find what they actually thinking, because they actually not thinking anything in that sense, which they have abandoned it. They are not constructing anything. They are always, cannot be known by anybody.
So they are thinking.
Thinking in the sense that you need to have let's say someone is turning, to some side, and then you actually presume that this person is actually going in that direction or sort of thing. There's no such indication for an Arahant. That's what it is, that you can't actually see that this person has this intention and the desire and all those things, therefore he's going into this Sydney or whatever direction, cannot be seen.
That's the realization, isn't it? Because the realization is so high. I mean, it's high in its achieved, and you don't cling to things. That's the that's the point, isn't it? Because otherwise, it's you see the beauty as the beauty, but you don't cling to that because you know that it's
not the real beauty.
Yeah,
it is. No, having known that one can't find this thing, what they are actually thinking or doing those reflections. And it's a great thing, but this discourse is really good discourse to understand the five aggregates of clinging. And this is when I was reading this one, and I did not know about this volitional formation. It is doing this one all the time. You are thinking, how am I? I'm getting this mind, to these things which I do not know, do not want sometimes, something that I want sometimes. So how this mind is coming to this thing? It is because this volitional formation is actually constructing all the time. It is constructing these things. So that urges, mental urges, I want to eat this food, I want to get that chocolate, all those things constructed.
Is it past volitional formation or present?
Well, the past one is actually creating the present one. The present one is actually creating the next moment. So the moment to moment, it is constructed. Every moment, it is constructed. So we can't say it's actually it's not like a packet in the past. It's not a box or packet or sort of thing. It is also constructed at that particular time. Ever-changing phenomena over here. So we got one over here. Right now we are hearing this dhamma, and the next moment it is actually constructed something. So when you come from that door, and before hearing this thing, you are different. And having heard it, it's again different. So each time it is actually constructed. totally different thing.
What is this? How? What do you say? Neither builds up nor tears down, and that means you don't build up. That I understand. What's the tearing up?
Because there's no construction or destruction. That's why I said that this bhavayava, vibhavayava, that's the Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta part that I mentioned. That's because of that. It is that if you actually think about the destructing, then there is this volition to destruct it.
It's already constructed then.
It is also constructed. So if this person is actually now know everything in the world. Every place that I actually construct, every possibility is a construction. There is nothing permanent. So having seen that one, then he actually not going to construct or destroy. If you try to construct it, then that is clinging and, you know, that one. And the destruction is vibhavatanha, you know, to get rid of it.
But still like,
Awareness is there.
But it's construction is there.
Well, the construction is there's not, it's not a volitional formation. We are talking about volitional formation. Volitional formation, when you put the word volition, there is a clinging part into it. The mere awareness that this is a thing is something.
But that's also samskara.
It is, you can't say it's a volitional formation. Samskara is volitional formation.
Right.
You are talking about formations, like, awareness about a certain thing. It is different to the volition formation.
We can give an example like this, isn't it? Because let's say an arahat to a Lord Buddha, and so you offer dhani, and then they accept dhani and then eat it because they know it is a food. So, but they are not clinging to that and thinking that this is tastier than this, then this is, you know, I want this next time and all these things because it's food that you take to maintain your body.
Yeah, this is the liberated mind. It's sort of difficult to perceive by someone who has not attained that one, because that person is actually liberated. So since we are not liberated, you can't actually think properly. So for Arahan, he can perceive ugly thing as beautiful, beautiful thing as ugly. Yes. So it's liberated. It's like we are sort of attached with the string to that particular thing. Okay. So string is still not broken. Therefore, one can't see how it is.
Yes. But it's, for example, like in my case, like, you know, it is a pen. I call it a pen because my father or mother introduced me as a pen. So I, in my mind, as a sanskara, associating this to a pen.
Yeah, you have the habituality or whatever thing it is with that this is actually a pen sort of thing. And the Buddha or anybody actually recognize this one, but they perceive with the wisdom. This is the impermanent nature, and all those things are there as well.
Yeah.
So there is no wrong perception on that one, but we do. So that the mere perception or about that one. That if you perceive that one as impermanent, then you are sort of perceiving as an arahant perceiving it. Okay, so the perception that is not yours, you are not perceiving that one is not mine. Okay, so therefore we have this, the formations, volitional formations. It's not just mere contact itself. And the what Buddha said is actually avijja sampansa passa. That is the contact, the ignorant contact. Now, this one is actually first you get the contact. So, the contact is ignorant, that not knowing that this is impermanent thing. So, there is feeling, associated feeling, oh, this is a good thing, you know, this shape, I like it. So, those things are also constructed. Remember, it is not only the pen that is constructed by the original formation. It constructed this pen as a pen and the feeling as feeling. So, what the feeling you have in that particular pen, I mean, let's say you give an ugly pen, you know, dirty pen. So that's a feeling is different, but still it's a thing. So when you take the distinction between the feeling, other parts, feeling, perception and volitional formation itself. So am I going to cling into that one? I'm binding it, holding it. So that becomes the volitional formation.
That tells that the matter alone doesn't make a come or
Exactly.
Yeah. So all this matter, feeling, perception, vodana, formation, and consciousness, all
package
together, create you the problem.
That's right. That's what the said.
Pasupachavedana, it says, but you need that feeling, and then you have to cling to that. Otherwise, you wouldn't get a karma for that.
Mm. But in that case, the mere fact that this is a pain doesn't cause any emotion of pain.
No.
But if you get attached to it.
Yeah.
But you are attached to it.
But the thing is, we don't know how much we attach to. We know that this is a pain. We can write with this one. This is this color and all those sort of things.
Mm.
That gives us attachment. So that is inside our.
Now this pen was now taken for the purpose of writing this song. Yeah. Let's say some childish person come here, grab it and go in there, and he's playing that one, okay? Now Arjuna want to write it down. He's looking at that pen and he got the anger generated towards that person. Why? It's a pen. Yeah, it is a pen. But this I want for this purpose. So that's my clinging. So I'm clinging to that object, therefore I'm hating that person. Right? So always when you can't think about something, that whether I am attached to this one or something like that one, try to think that somebody actually has taken it by force from you. And then you actually see. And one moment I thought about that, the leaving the body, here, the mind is going away sort of thing. And then for a second I got the thought, this happened a long time ago. Well, what if because the day before I heard about Dhamma from a monk, saying that a person has left and another person has come into that body, because that person is sort of dead. So he has left, another person who want to be born, he got hold of this body and troubling the whole family, behaving differently. It has happened. So monk was actually explaining this real situation. So next day I was meditating, I was actually thinking about, so this body leaving and going. And then that came to my mind as well. So what about this? Then they will trouble all the other people, behaving, impersonating, all those things. And that actually really scared. So there you can see how much you attach to your own body. You don't actually want to give it up. Death moment, that can't help him go. Otherwise, hold into that. So it is, although this is so bad, we are holding pen, pencil, paper, everything. Yeah. I think I'll just go. You can stop for today now. Yeah.